अपि
ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतभीर्विभुम् ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधो दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् माताजी ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् ततश्चमनवकाले इजीरे ऋषयोपरे पितरो विबुधा दैत्या मनुष्या कृतुभिर्विभुम् वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन तत देयर आफ्टर च ऑल्सो मनव द मनुष द फादर्स ऑफ मैनकाइंड काले इन ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम इजिरे वर्शिप्ड ऋषय ग्रेट सेजेस अपरे अदर्स पित्र द फोर फादर्स विबुधा द लर्नेड स्कॉलर्स दैत्य ग्रेट डिवोटीज ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स मनुष्य मैनकाइंड कृतुभि विभुम by performance of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the daityas, and mankind perform sacrifice meant to please the Supreme Lord. The daityas are devotees of the demigods, because they want to derive the greatest possible material facilities from them. The devotees of the Lord are ekanishta, or absolutely attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, they have practically no time to speak the benefits of material facilities. Because of the realization of their spiritual identity, they are more concerned with spiritual emancipation than with material comforts. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सावधेतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू ऑल फॉर स्पेंडिंग योर वैल्युएबल टाइम एंड joining us for the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class at Shri Srila Gopinath Mandir. First of all, I am very grateful to the temple management for time and again giving me the opportunity to prepare myself and study Srimad Bhagavatam, because I am honest, otherwise it's very difficult for me to read. It's something, I am a very poor student, when the exam comes then only I can prepare. So that is my situation. So thank you to the temple management, and a special thanks to Rudranath Prabhu for really encouraging me, because I came to know about my class 3 days prior, and for me it requires 10-15 days of preparation to not crack the exam but to pass the exam. So nonetheless, this time the time was less, but he encouraged me, so I'm very grateful to him for encouraging me. So because of that, I could utilize my 3 days trying to read wonderful pastimes of the Lord and this wonderful text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, I would have been spending my time in something mundane. So, thanks to him. And before I start, I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here, all my senior God brothers here, and whoever is listening online also, my senior God brothers and God sister, I beg the blessings of each one of you, so that whatever I can speak can benefit me and benefit others as well. So, I'll just read the translation one more time. Thereafter the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the Daityas, and mankind perform sacrifices meant to please the Supreme Lord. Now, before we delve into this particular verse, I would like to just recap, and I'll just confess one thing. I'm doing this very artificially, but I'm doing it on the orders or the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, because some of the Vaishnavas have expressed their pleasure of this is what I'm doing. So I'm just doing as a ritual, but I hope one day I can genuinely appreciate the classes of all the speakers that they have been giving so wonderful classes. So I started hearing from Sunday. That's what I generally do. From Sunday till Thursday, I try to hear whichever the speaker has given the class. And it's really amazing. I thought I'm just going to, like, you know, because I'm going to please Vaishnavas. So to hear, like, you know, 5 classes, that means I'm, like, you know, I have to spend 5 hours, and I had a very limited time. So I thought I'm just going to do skip scan and, like, you know, find some points so that I can fool the devotees that, like, you know, I have heard the class and here are some points from the previous speakers. But believe me, as soon as I started hearing, I could not do anything but completely hear the entire class for all the speakers. It's really amazing. And I humbly request, if you have not heard all these classes, please go back and hear. It's an amazing, it is no less than a Bollywood blockbuster or a Hollywood blockbuster. It started with Sunday, the movie called Yajna. It's such an amazing, the way Radha Gopinath Prabhu explained the importance of sacrifice and what sacrifice is so amazing. And he actually played a quiz as well in the class, Bhakti enters --, and was so, so amazing. He said, Bhakti enters food and it becomes prasad. Bhakti enters music and it becomes kirtan. Bhakti enters travel and it becomes yatra, pilgrimage. Bhakti enters stomach, that means you fast, it's upavas. When bhakti enters water, it becomes charanamrit. I was like, you know, really amazed that how devotees can come up with such a innovative way of bringing Krishna consciousness to a dull-headed person like me, and has that aha moment and a wow moment when we hear those classes. And finally, icing on the cake, when a bhakti enters a human being, that human being becomes a devotee. What a beautiful thing, isn't it? And then he explained about, because we all chanting the holy names. And I have never looked at it from that perspective. First of all, he said, whatever you are doing, first you have to understand what you are doing. What is it? Right? Second thing you have to understand is why you are doing. What you are doing, why you are doing. And the final thing is, most important thing is, you have understood what it is. You have understood why you need to do it. Now the important thing is how you should do it. Right? And he explained, what is holy name? Holy name is Chintamani. It's like an explain like a touchstone. It can transform anybody and everybody. Right? And we hear and we have seen personally how holy name has transformed hippies into the happies. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what magic you have done? He said, I have just simply transformed the hippies into happies. And the second thing he said, why one should chant? Because it's the most simplest process, and this is a Yuga Dharma. Everyone is looking for the perfection of life, isn't it? We are just taking up the different things, be it a profession of engineering, be it a profession of medicine, be it a profession of pharmacist or anything. Anything you take up. Why do you take up? To perfect your life. If you can perfect your life just by chanting the holy names, what else is required? And it is a so simple process. Why one should not take it up? And that is why one should take up the holy name of the Lord. And then he explained how one should chant. One should chant in a humble state of mind. He quoted the words of Trinadapi Sunichena. Right? So such an amazing class. I must tell that please go and hear that class. And then our Subhilas Prabhu, who is like an amazing, the way he tells story, and I don't know how he gets all these stories, was so amazing that there should be definitely some kind of a movie and other things should also be made from his stories. You know, he shared the story of how Krishna used to play with a gopi by breaking that gopi's pot. And gopi thought like, you know, let me just trick Krishna. And she, on the iron pot, she applied a clay, you know, and now she was thinking how Krishna is going to break this pot, you know. And then, sure enough, those pots were at the Yamuna, at the bank of Yamuna. And then Krishna kicked those pots in the Yamuna river, and she was trying to save one pot. In the meantime, another pot came, and then Krishna says, what are you doing, Gopi? And then she turned back, saying that, Krishna, you kicked the pot out of frustration because I fooled you. Then Krishna says, just look back. And Gopi looked back, and she saw that both the iron pots turned into the heavenly personality, and they went back home, back to Godhead. Right? And the gopi was amazed at what Krishna is doing. Krishna was just delivering those pots. It's really amazing. And then he told the story of that spider and the story of a Nachiketa. The story of a spider was so amazing. The spider was serving Lord Shiva by creating a temple of his own way, and elephant coming and, like, you know, washing it off. And then that spider, like, you know, goes into the trunk of the elephant, and, like, you know, both dies, and then spider takes birth as a devotee, and amazing story. You know, after that he builds a temple, and the way he builds a temple, he made 70 Shiva temples. After each war he won, he used to build one temple, and each temple he made in such a way that elephant cannot enter because it's coming from his previous life. He being a spider, he was so much hurried that whatever I made for Shiva, the elephant used to come and break it. And here he makes a temple that elephant cannot enter. Right? Such a beautiful story. And then the final story he shared about the Nachiketa, we have heard so many times, but the way he narrated it and he brought out some of these important lessons was so amazing. when Yama comes after 3 days, and there's a long story, but I'll just say it in a brief, that Nachiketa happens to be cursed by his father, whatever, and then he go to the Yamlok, and he was waiting for Yamraj, and Yamraj comes after 3 days, and he says, how could you survive 3 days without anything? And he says, no, I have eaten your progeny, I have eaten your vehicles, and I have eaten your punya. And Yamraj gets frightened, and he says, no, don't do anymore. Tell me what you need. And he says, I need 3 boons, right? And he says, first thing he says, like, you know, help me go back to my place, and let not my father remember what he did, and let our relationship be the original one. And then he asked for one other boon, and then finally he asked for a moksha, right? And then he says, who gives the moksha? And then he says, Vishnu. And then, like, you know, he explained, who is Vishnu? And he explained this, what we are reading today, the Purusha Sukta, right? He is the complete universal form of the Lord at the time of annihilation. he destroys everything. And Nachiketa was perplexed that, like, you know, why would Lord destroy everything? But then he explained the Lord's destruction is like a protection. What an amazing concept, isn't it? And then at the time of annihilation, everything goes into the body of the Lord. And again, when the annihilation is over, all the things comes back again to life. So that was really amazing. And then Bhakti Charudeshana Maharaj spoke really profound. You know, it was a very basic Krishna conscious philosophy that one should never forget. And the way he explained was so beautiful. He made us realize that Krishna is the CEO. Krishna is the controller, enjoyer, and the owner, the proprietor of everything that exists. He gave an example of that golden ring, you know. You have a gold ring and you offer it to the Lord. Is that gold ring belong to you? The entire gold mine belongs to Krishna. And he says the austerity will save you from enjoying others' properties. Wow, what an amazing thing. So he helped us realize our constitutional position as a servant. And the constitutional position of the Lord is that the Lord is a supreme enjoyer, supreme controller, and supreme proprietor. And then comes our scholar, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu. My God. Yesterday I felt Radha Gopinath Temple has decided to give Bhagavatam class in another language, which is the Sanskrit language. And I was wondering, we have an English class going on here. We have a Hindi translation goes down. Where will the Sanskrit class will happen? Where will the English people will go? So the way Radhika Vallabh Prabhu gave class yesterday, it was, I would say, 80% was Sanskrit. Like, you know, he was just quoting shlokas left, right and center. It was so, so relishing and so absorbing and so nourishing. Such an amazing, and he gave that example of, so it really struck me why. We give these USD classes and, like, you know, we struggle to explain. But the way he explained about how one should see things and how different people see things, right? So he says, dog sees through smell. Isn't it? Dog sees through smell. A king sees through spy. Uske jo spy rehte hain jasus, uske through the king sees. And the brahmana sees through Vedas. An ordinary person like me sees through charma chakshu. And the charma chakshu also needs the glasses. Sees through that. What a beautiful thing. And then he explained the different chakshus. He explained the moha chakshu or a charma chakshu. Then he explained the jnana chakshu. Then he explained the prema chakshu and the kripa chakshu. Right? These are all beautiful things. Why I'm sharing all these things with you, that if you have not heard this class, please, please go and hear this class. It was so nourishing. It's really, really amazing. Now we come to the today's purport. Or the translation that Srila Prabhupada is sharing. It's a short purport, but it's very, very powerful. But Srila Prabhupada says that the daityas are devotees of the demigods because they want to desire the greatest possible material facilities from them. So many of us are being warned, if you need anything, go to Krishna. Don't go to the demigods. Why? Because what happens when you go to the demigods, your desires get fulfilled, but they do not get purified. That's the problem. So that what happens, the cycle of vicious cycle of desire never ends. Ek desire fulfill ho gaya, uske baad dusra, uske baad teesra, it just goes on and on. But when you approach Krishna, Krishna not just fulfill your desire, but he will purify your desire. And the best example is Dhruva Maharaj. Right? He had such an ambitious desire. His desires got fulfilled, but at the same time his desire got purified. What did he say? What I was looking for is just a broken piece of glass. And now I have got the diamond in the form of your darshan, my Lord. That is what it is. And after that, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, very beautiful. First line he explained about the daityas who are after the material things. Then he explained who is a devotee. And I really like some of the things where Srila Prabhupada says the devotee of the Lord are ekanishta, absolutely attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, they have practically no time to seek the benefits of material facilities. Because of the realization of their spiritual identity, they are more concerned with spiritual emancipation than with material comforts. So I'll take few words from this purport, and I would try to see what it translates to as a one word. What do you call somebody who is fully focused on something? Somebody who is absolutely attached to something. And practically they have no time for anything else other than that particular thing. And they are absolutely not bothered about anything else of this world. What do you call that particular phenomena? It's love, isn't it? If somebody is completely focused, absolutely attached, have no time for anything else, and they don't desire anything else of this world, that means it's completely in love, isn't it? And recently we had this Valentine's Day, 14th February. And I was just wondering, everywhere the love was all pervading at that time. Was it a love? It's a absolute lust. There was no contamination of love in it. It is a pure lust. There was no contamination of love. And why is that? Thanks to media. Media is the one who is our another puppeteer. We have seen in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Devi. So Maya Devi is the most trusted agent is media. And media makes us dance. Media says, 14th February aa gaya beta. Come on, go to the Arches Gallery, buy those heart cards and all these things, buy this red rose. It's all driven by that media. So I was just reflecting, I wished that, oh my Lord, one day we have a media which propagates in such a way that all the living entities get so much enamored by your propaganda, O media, that they are so attracted and so enamored by that, they just helplessly dragged towards the temple of Shishi Radha Gopinath ji and come with the red rose and offer that red rose on the 14th February to Shishi Radha Gopinath ji. That will be the perfection of media. That will be the purification of media. If that happens, that will be so amazing. So then I was just reflecting on that love thing, and luckily I got, because I don't have any realizations of my own, so I have to rely on the Vaishnavas. So I typed in love, ISKCON and all those things, so that I get the relevant content and not all this stupid content, right? And the class comes is Learn the Language of Love by Swayam Bhagwan Keshav Maharaj. He has three parts. I humbly request again all of you, go and hear those classes. You just type in the language of love, SB Keshav Maharaj, and it will come up in your YouTube. You hear all these three classes. I have just tried to get some excerpts from that, and I'll share with you all today. It's really, really amazing. It's really amazing. I'm not a shloka guy. I'm actually a shloka bhens. The buffalo is like a, after so much of reminder also, that person cannot cannot learn. So I have to take the shelter of the technology. And please pardon my meter and everything else. But I felt that if I quote directly from that, I'll get purified. So he starts his class very beautifully with the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's all he does from Chaitanya Charitamrita, specifically in these three classes that he gave. Antya Leela 20.37. Prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan dasakari vetana more deha prema dhan. Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. Isn't it amazing? Now, here we are going to discuss pure love. No at all impurities of lust at all in it. It's completely pure love that is being described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes so beautifully that I am useless. My jivan is useless without your love, my Lord. And I request you that make me your servant. And what salary we want? Your love. Can you imagine? The highest salary, people nowadays talk about IIT mein se nikla, six-figure package, 1 crore ka package, 5 crore ka package. This package that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is seeking is impossible for anybody to get. But if you follow in the footsteps of Vaishnavas, then there is a high chance that we may get this package. The package of love. The highest package of love. Srila Prabhupada met the newly married couple. Of course, they were the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know how many of you have experience whenever you're in the presence of great souls. the honesty comes out. So, Srila Prabhupada asked this couple, and specifically Mataji. Srila Prabhupada asked Mataji that, who do you love more? Or who do you love the most? Krishna? Or your husband? So there was a few moments of silence. And then the tears fell from her eyes. And she said, Srila Prabhupada, no one. And she was honest. It's not that she had a paramour or anyone else. Practically, the absolute truth came out of her mouth. That I have not developed a true love either for Krishna or for my husband. Because love is not cheap. Love is not cheap. Love is something very deep. Love is something very deep. And we'll see how Chaitanya Charitamrita describes what is that love. What is the language of that love. And that is why we'll appreciate that Mataji sharing her honest opinion. Now Maharaj goes on explaining from Madhya Leela 4.186. That's where he describes the first language of love. Pragada premera e swabhava achara nija dukha vignadhira nakare vichar. This is the natural result of intense love. I repeat. This is the natural result of intense love of Godhead. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we all know the story of Madhvendrapuri. So this is where this verse starts and the Madhvendrapuri story Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes. In that story, we know, we cannot go into the entire story, but we know in that story how Madhvendrapuri was sitting in Vrindavan and just fasting and completely aloof and completely absorbed in the holy name. And Krishna himself comes disguised as a small boy and gives him the milk. And when he drinks that milk, he was completely ecstatic. And that same night when he sleeps, same Gopal comes to his dream and says, I am hidden in these bushes. Please, remove me and start worshipping me because I'm feeling so much of a heat here. Please take care of me. And then sure enough, Madanandapuri does that, and Gopal comes out, and Gopal starts asking one after another thing, and then finally asks that I need a chandan from Malaya Hills, because I'm feeling, it's not at Malaya Hills, but that's where the chandan were available. And I'm feeling a lot of heat, so you please get some chandan for me. So much far away, and you have to walk at that time, right? It's not that you had like all this Vande Bharat and other trains or flight tickets. You have to walk all the way. And not just that, there were so many kings were putting tolls and everything, and getting chandan is more difficult than getting a gold. So he went through a lot of difficulties, right? But then we see in those difficulties, his love went on increasing. Similarly, we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, right? His life is full of struggle. We read in Lila Amrit, right? Even the first few years in US was so difficult. What to speak of before going to US, like, you know, his struggle in Jhansi, his struggle to distribute the Back to Godhead magazine. So much of struggle, so much of difficulty, so much of pain, right? But here it is said, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, right? All these obstacles on the path of devotional service are my ecstasies. So we may wonder that, like, you know, that is so high. It is for Prabhupada, it is for Madhavendra Puri, it is for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is not for me. Isn't it? But then Maharaj explained very beautifully with a wonderful analogy. He said, when a heavy rain comes, what happens to the mud hut? It completely destroys. But the same heavy rain falls on the mountain, what happens? The mountain becomes clean. Mountain has a lot of vegetation growing, a lot of beautiful flowers. The mountain becomes very colorful, isn't it? With this heavy rain coming on it. Right? So who is that mud hut? Is a conditioned soul. And the difficulties come, completely washed away. Mountain is like a pure devotee. When the difficulties come, they blossom. And as you always, I consider myself as, like, you know, in between. At least trying to be in between. Of course, I'm more toward the conditioned soul, right? So he gave a wonderful analogy that a person who is trying to be Krishna conscious, for them, they are like, or they have to be like, a newly constructed house with a cement. And that, when the heavy rain comes on that house solidifies with that particular storm or with that particular heavy rain. Isn't it a wonderful analogy that he gave? So similarly, when the difficulties come in our life, we have to be like that newly made house of cement, which will solidify. Right? And he says, key to progressive spiritual life is to become comfortable with uncomfortable. I repeat, key to progressive spiritual life is to become comfortable with uncomfortable. And he explained that when the difficulties come, six gifts that comes along with it, if we are positively situated during those difficult times. The first thing comes is creativity. Isn't it? We all become creative when the difficulties come. There is no other way but to be creative, to address that difficulty. And what does it do further? It deepens our wisdom. Whatever we have heard, whatever we have read, right, comes to the realization. Whatever we have read and heard, if we cannot put into the practice when the difficult situation comes, then what is the use of that hearing and reading? So our hearing and reading becomes solid or solidifies when these difficulties come. Second thing happens, it builds our character. Because when difficulty comes, we can't go and find solutions external. We definitely do that initially. But we realize, bahar kuch solution milne wala nahi hai. What I have to do? I have to change internally. There is no other way but to change internally. The third thing comes is, along with the difficulties, the opportunities come. But we realize those opportunities provided we have patience and we have learned the art of reflection. Then we realize, oh wow, because I was in this situation, difficult situation, I got this opportunity and that is where I am now, positively situated. So it brings a lot of opportunities. It closes one door, but it opens the another one. The fourth one, it resets our priorities. Right? Many times we become very lax in our spiritual life. Things goes like, you know, on an autopilot mode. There is no such autopilot mode except when we go into the flight. But in our life, there is no such thing called autopilot, right? But we get into that particular mode and the difficulties come. We reset our priorities. We realize, oh my God, I was focusing or I was prioritizing something which I was not supposed to. So we reset our priorities when the difficulties come. The fifth thing, we become stronger in our resolve. How? Because it's not that only one time difficulty comes and rest of the life is a cakewalk. Difficulties after difficulties after difficulties, right? So what it means to be a stronger in your resolve is, you look at your scar, be it a psychological or a physical scar, and you don't go into the depression, oh my God, I had gone through so much in the life. But rather you think, I could get out of that thing. And here also I will. So your results becomes more stronger. And the final, the most important thing that you get out of this difficulty is you get a grateful heart. Because you realize that there are so many things I was taking it for granted. Until the difficulties came. And when the difficulties came, you realize, oh my God, I had so many things and I took these things for granted. So your heart becomes very grateful. So these six things are really powerful gifts, provided we reflect in a right way when the difficulties come. Otherwise, most of the times when the difficulties come, we just want to get rid of it and we just want to, like, you know, somehow or other. But not realizing that, let's just spend some time to understand what is this is all about. And when you transcend those difficulties, you actually grow. We are not saying that if you have a headache or your car breaks down, your bike breaks down, then you don't do anything. You have to do whatever the needful. But try to reflect in whatever the difficulties you get in your life. And then the most amazing thing he shared, please pay attention. This will really change my life, at least I would say. Okay, so it can change your life as well. He said very beautiful thing, because somebody asked a question. I don't remember the question, but the answer is most important. The question was, I remember now. The question is, why Krishna does not reveal to us that what I am going through? Rather, what I am going through, why Krishna does not reveal it to me? If Krishna reveals why I am going through what I am going through, then it will be easy, na? So he gave a wonderful analogy. Why Krishna does not reveal that? All of us get feedback somehow or the other. Whenever you get a feedback, because I got a feedback in my life, okay? Thanks to corporate world. We have these skip level meetings and things like that. And probably they also learn from the shastras, because nothing comes on their own. It's the inspiration of the Lord only. So I was given a feedback that I am very aggressive. Okay? So what was my first response? Or anybody gives you the feedback, what is your first response? Sorry? Okay, what else? The first response comes, who said it? Who said it? And I also exactly did the same. I had some, jasus jo bataya na, king sees through the jasus. So I'm a manager and my members, right? So I asked my trusted members, kisne feedback diya? Who was that? Who said it? Why? Because then I say, oh, he said it. Oh, because he himself is, like, you know, very aggressive. Jo jaisa hai, vaisa dikhta hai, you know. इसलिए ऐसा बोल रहा है वो. सो प्रॉब्लम विद दैट इज, एंड महाराज एक्सप्लेन सो ब्यूटिफुली, दैट फर्स्ट रिएक्शन एनीबडी हैज व्हेन दे गेट अ फीडबैक इज हु सेड इट, एंड एब्सोल्युटली डजंट मैटर हु सेड इट. इजंट इट? डज इट मैटर हु सेड इट? इट डजंट मैटर. इट डजंट मैटर. बट योर माइंड टेल्स यू दैट इट इज इंपॉर्टेंट टू फाइंड आउट हु सेड इट, बिकॉज यू फोकस ऑन दैट पर्सन रादर देन वर्किंग ऑन योर फीडबैक. So he will never improve with that situation. And that is why Krishna is so merciful that he doesn't reveal to you that why you are going through this and who is the cause of your miseries right now. Because you will not work. It's as simple as that. So just see the mercy of Krishna, how it flows. It's such an amazing thing. Now the second language of love, which is also very amazing, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Premera Swabhava, Yaha Premera Samban, Sei Mane Krishna Mora, Nahi Prema Ganda. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. This is really amazing. This dainyata, the humility, is the key ingredient to develop love. Without humility, without dainyata, there is no love. And wherever there is a love, you are have a deeper and deeper dainyata. So it's like a competition. Right? We have heard from Maharaj that in Vrindavan, the flower becomes more beautiful to give pleasure to Krishna. And looking at the flower, Krishna becomes more beautiful. And the competition goes on and on. It's an infinite competition. Here is also one kind of competition happening between a devotee and Krishna. What is that competition? The more the humility you have, the more the love you have, the more you want to give yourself to Krishna for his service, isn't it? The more you give yourself for Krishna's service, what Krishna does? Just sit and look at you? No, Krishna says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante. Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Right? And again, devotee goes more and more because he gets a lot of reciprocation from Krishna. He increases commitment. He goes on increasing his commitment. Krishna goes on increasing his reciprocation. This competition goes on and on. Is it an infinite competition that nobody wins or nobody loses? No. In this competition, who loses? Krishna loses. To whom? To gopis. That finally Krishna had to say, Oh my dear gopis, I cannot reciprocate more than this. I cannot repay you the way you are loving me. It's impossible for me to repay to your love. Na pareham. What a beautiful thing, isn't it? And then, in this humility, I was reminded of another verse that Maharaj says, not me, okay? So, before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, Murkhanicha Shudramuni Vishaya Lalas Vaishnava Agya Bale Kari Iteke Sahas. I am foolish. Now hear this very carefully. Oh my God, it's I am foolish, low-born and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. If anybody thinks that he is foolish, low-born, insignificant, always desiring material enjoyment. If somebody is thinking like that, can you imagine that person go on writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is going to be the epitome of love for the rest of the eternity for all the devotees to come? How one can write, how this contradiction can resolve? We hear even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amara Jeevan Sada Paape Rata. You may wonder, like, you know, and then he says, like, you know, Whenever I enter my home, I feel like I am entering Vaikuntha, because that's the holy name of the Lord is always being sung there. So how do you reconcile that, right? So I was wondering that always, like, you know, whenever before hearing this class, I was thinking that maybe just to encourage us, you know, encourage the devotees, all these great Vaishnavas say that, like, you know, I am also papi, I am also lusty, I also have this desire and this and that. But then Maharaj clarified through this verse, and it completely made it black and white. There was no gray area for me anymore. It is absolutely clear that Vaishnavas, when they say, they are not lying. They are actually feeling same humility within their heart, that I'm lowborn, I'm nothing. Right? But the most powerful thing that they believe in is that Vaishnava Agya is more powerful. Huh? That is what it is. They have so much faith on Vaishnava Agya than their own disqualification. That is the answer. We saw that wonderful drama, a beautiful acting by Prahlad Priya Prabhu of Ajamil. Right? Can you imagine? He helplessly called out his son's name, Narayan. And we all saw what he got. Vishnu Dutas came. There was a whole list of his bad karmas, his sinful activities, which they couldn't hold it. It fell down. Got wiped out. Just one name, Narayan, that too, he was not calling the actual Narayan, he was calling the Narayan as his son. So that is the power of the holy name. And that is what the faith that these devotees have, these pure devotees, be it Srila Prabhupada, be it Bhaktivinoda Thakur, be it Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, all this, they have this so much faith in that yes, I am sinful, yes, I am, and their thing is, because their cleanliness standard is so high, that even a small speck of dust is sitting there in the room, they feel, oh my God, there is so much dust in my heart. And for me, the whole room is filthy, still I feel it's so organized, isn't it? And my mother used to scold me many times that, samajh sharam nahi aata hai tujhe, kaise rakhta hai tu tera table aur ye wo. But here the Vaishnavas, for them even a speck of dust is like a mountain of dust, lust. And that is why this particular thing. So it's so amazing. And one amazing pastime of Srila Prabhupada, Yamuna Devi, is one of the places in US. Srila Prabhupada was in his room, and Yamuna Devi was trying to enter the room. The room was slight open, so she saw before entering, it was kind of a evening time, and there was a candlelight, glowing a little bit. And Srila Prabhupada was on his harmonium. So Yamuna Devi thought that, you know, I think Prabhupada in some his personal moments, so I'll not go and disturb. But she just observed what was going on. Srila Prabhupada was on his harmonium, singing Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu, Manushya Jivana Paya, Radha Krishna Nabhaji, Ajaniya Suniya Vishakhainu. He is singing and reading the translation. That knowingly I have wasted my life, this, that. He sang for 20 times, same thing, going again and again and again. Same thing. They feel so much of Dainyata within their heart. And why they feel? Maharaj gives a beautiful example. You see the mountain from far, it looks so big. But when you go closer to the mountain, it becomes bigger and bigger. The more you go near to the mountain appears to be bigger and bigger. And you yourself appear to be smaller and smaller in front of that mountain. Exactly the same thing happening in the devotee's life. When you go or achieve that pure state of devotional service, right? You are so close to the mountain, so you realize how significant you are, and at the same time, you realize how magnificent my Lord is. And that combination helps them to do these wonderful things in this world. Wonderful things in this world. Isn't it? Now, today is the most auspicious day of Advaita Acharya. So, I'll spend last 5 minutes. It's not justifying to such a great personality, Advaita Acharya, to speak about that, but the time is the limit here. And today happens to be the disappearance day of two great souls of our congregation, Soka Krishna Prabhu and Radha Shakti Mataji. So the remembrance for them as well. So Advaita Acharya is the one who brought the Lord to this world. And it's actually, by the way, the third sign of language of love. What is that? Is a service. And Advaita Acharya is considered to be the Seva personified in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we'll see in brief how. So Advaita Acharya was born in Navagram, Srihatta in Bengal. Born to Kuvera Pandit and Navadevi. And while he was young, he lost his parents. But because he has so much of compassion for all the living entities, he naturally became the leader of that society. He naturally became the leader of that society. And then, because he had so much of compassion for these living entities of this world, so he was wondering, what should I do to bring the Lord to this world to save these souls who are wasting their lives? So he read a verse in Gautami Tantra saying that just offering a water and a tulsi, a Ganga Jal and a tulsi leaf to the Lord, then the Lord becomes absolutely pleased and he will do anything and everything for you. So he started offering Ganga Jal and a tulsi leaves to his Shaligram Shila to request Lord to come to this world. So because of his service, as we are talking about his Seva personified, because of his service, the Lord appeared in this world, Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord appeared, it was such a symptoms that Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur both felt that Lord has appeared. They really felt like that. And just going a little back, I wanted to cover one more important point about Advaita Acharya's life. That Advaita Acharya went to pilgrimage to Vrindavan and he meets with Madhavendra Puri and he takes initiation from him. And while he was sleeping one night, he gets a dream. Actually, Madan Mohanji comes to his dream and says that I am under the ground near Yamuna River. Please come and take me out from there. And sure enough, when he goes there, excavates, he finds Madan Mohan, the same Madan Mohan deities that was given to that Brahman Devata in Mathura, and the same deity eventually comes to Sanatan Goswami. Same deities, right? And the Advaita Acharya is the one who excavated that deity. And then, Navadvip. So, whenever Advaita Acharya saw Nimai, he felt so much of love. But that time, Nimai was so much engaged in grammar, Sanskrit Vyakran. So, he was praying to the Lord, he and everyone else, that, oh my Lord, please make Nimai a devotee. Please make Nimai a devotee. Because if he becomes a devotee, the entire world will become a devotee. So again, Advaita Acharya's prophecy comes true. Can you imagine? Chaitanya Charitamrita is so sweet. A devotee is praying for another person to become a devotee, who is none other than Lord himself, to become a devotee. What a sweet pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then sure enough, Nimai becomes a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while the kirtan was going on at Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Ramai Pandit that go to Shantipur and invite Advaita Acharya to Srivas Angan. So he was not knowing who is there, but he said, you go, you'll figure it out. And he goes there. As soon as he reaches to Advaita Acharya's home, and before he says, Advaita Acharya says, yes, I understand why you have come, let's go. They go, but before they go to Srivas Angan, Advaita Acharya says, I will hide in Nandan Acharya's home. Let's see whether my Lord recognizes or not. And then Ramai Pandit goes, of course, without Advaita Acharya. So before he says anything, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, go and get Advaita Acharya from Nandan Acharya's home. He's hiding there. So this is such a sweet pastimes happening between the Lord and his devotees, isn't it? So now what was happening is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always glorifying and serving Advaita Acharya, because not just he is senior in the age, because he is the godmother of his spiritual master in one sense, right? So one day Advaita Acharya, what he did, that I cannot tolerate Lord giving me so much of respect and serving me. So he started reading from Yoga Vasishtha, the impersonalism. And he was like, you know, glorifying impersonalism like anything. And somehow Lord Chaitanya comes to know. I'll just do a little fast forward because I'm already late. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like, you know, somehow other comes to know. And he goes to that place and he asks question to Advaita Acharya. Advaita, tell me, which is the highest? Devotional service or speculative knowledge? And Advaita Acharya, because he wanted to break that relationship of awe and reverence with him, he said, sure enough, it is jnana, it is speculative knowledge. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transcendentally became so angry, he dragged Advaita Acharya from his dais and started beating him. And by the way, Advaita Acharya was 52 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when that whole episode happened, then Advaita Acharya started dancing and saying, now I am so happy, my Lord, that you accepted me as your servant. Because only a master chastises his servant. So what a such a beautiful pastime. And I'll just conclude with last thing. Srila Prabhupada also played a role of Advaita Acharya in one of the drama while he was young. And it seems that they prepared for that drama for almost a year. And Prabhupada, and that too only for one show. And Prabhupada acted so beautifully in that drama as Advaita Acharya. Prabhupada played the role of Advaita Acharya. And because he played that role, we see that he personified Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya brought Lord to this world, and Srila Prabhupada distributed that same Lord to the entire world. He gave the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to entire world. That is our Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sorry, we cannot take any questions. And sorry, I definitely ask for the comments if there are any. And please forgive me for going over time. Please excuse me. Hare Krishna.